So we are discussing Brahmaji's prayers in the third canto, ninth chapter. So we have seen Brahmaji in the last two prayers mentioning that how he is lamenting for the suffering of people of this world. Kshutritridatu birima muhurardyamana sitoshna vatavarashair itaretaraccha kamagnina achyutarushacha sudurbarena sampashyato mana urukrama sidateme. Then he explains that why does he lament even though this material suffering is just like a dream. So he says, yes, it is like a dream, but till they realize only after they wake up from that dream. But till they wake up, their suffering is real. They cry and lament and everything is real. When they wake up, they realize, wow, it was just a dream. But then, at that moment, their suffering was very much real. So therefore, he says he laments. And also, when that person would wake up is not in his hands. It all depends on when a devotee will come and touch his life. Atibhagyena, it's not in his hands. So, and devotees also as a species are extremely rare. So what is the chance? So therefore, he feels like that. Therefore, we were discussing the other day, or maybe last time, that whenever Krishna in Bhagavad Gita calls them Moodha, Avajananti Maam Moodha Manushim Dhanumashritam, so it is not spoken in a sense of criticism. It is not deriding. There the word Moodha means unfortunate and not just foolish. By intelligence one cannot understand Krishna. By intelligence one cannot understand the glories of devotional service. It is only by association of devotees can one understand. Otherwise, all the Nobel laureates would be the sannyasis traveling around. Anugrahayeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardhanasya. But we don't see that. They would all be the matadish. But it doesn't happen like that. So the word Moodha there indicates unfortunate. Therefore, in Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashrita, there the word Mahatma, Baldev Vidya Bhushan Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti could translate as fortunate. They are Mahatmas. How? Because they are fortunate. They had the opportunity to come in touch with devotees. And why are these Moodhas? Why can't they accept Krishna? Unfortunate. That should be our mood also. In order to be effective. Not seeing them as adversaries, but seeing them as unfortunate. So when we see that, that approach itself would ease a lot of obstacles in our being effective in touching their heart. Like that. It's not in their hands. Yeah, that's why. If it was there in their hands, then they can be criticized.
Krishna is saying that
That's where the word Moodha indicates unfortunate.
Krishna is saying that telling the devotees that go and make his fortune.
Yeah. Yeah. It's out of misfortune that they think that the Supreme Lord's form is illusory or human like or material. Dushkritino Muda Prapadyante Naradama. So Dushkriti means they don't have the Sukriti that is needed for accepting the Supreme Lord. Fortune. Bad fortune means bad impressions. No favorable impression for accepting Krishna. Otherwise, if you take Dushkriti as only material impressions, then how do you explain Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Shumba Yavanaha Kasadaya? Don't they have bad impressions? They are filled with it. Huh? So their Dushkriti means actually filled with only material impressions and no spiritual impressions. That's what it means. Otherwise, if Dushkriti would have only been the cause, material impressions would have been the cause for not accepting Krishna, then you have a material cause for not having bhakti. So this is refuted by word verses such as Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Hepisyu Papa Yonaya Striyo Vaishyastata Shudraste Piyanti Paramgati Mansovan Shila Shiksha Stiryak Janapikim Ushutadarana. So therefore, who are the people who accept Krishna's shelter? Not Chaturvida, Sukritino. The focus of that verse is not in Artho Artharthi Jigyasu Jnani. The focus of that verse is in Sukritino. Because these four are the cause of seeking shelter. When one is in need of money, when one is in need of, one is in trouble and needs to come out of trouble. These are impetus for seeking shelter. But these are not impetus for seeking shelter of Krishna. The impetus to seek shelter of Krishna is Sukriti. Agyat Sukriti. So therefore the focus of that verse is in Sukritino. And not Artho Jigyasur Artharthi and Jnani. Generally we think that that's how I also always felt. Who surrenders to Krishna? Artho Artharthi Jigyasu Jnani. No, they don't surrender. If they have Sukriti, one may not even fall in those four categories. But he may still take shelter of Krishna.
During all the Artho would have surrendered.
Person who are not following, those who do not fall in these four categories, they may still take up to shelter of Krishna. Like for example, we just we don't have to go for Shastric examples. We can ask in our own lives, how many of you came to Krishna consciousness solely because we were so distressed? Definitely many people are there, but not everyone would fall in that category. How many of us came to Krishna for wealth? How many of us came to Krishna because we were philosophically very curious to understand things? All categories of people will be there, but just because some person was very nice to me and I liked his friendship or his protection on me and I got inspired and I came. So we may not clearly fall in the category of Artho Artharthi Jigyasu or Jnani, but mostly many of us may just be Sukritinas but may not strongly fall in one of those four categories also. We may fall also, I am not denying. We may not necessarily fall also. Like that. They will not automatically start practicing sadhana bhakti. If they come in touch with, there he mentions that if they come in touch with the Supreme Lord or a devotee and get purified, so there he gives this example of four. First, Artha, he gives the example of Gajendra. So Gajendra got purified. Gajendra is again Kripa Siddhi case. He came, the Lord, he came in touch with the Supreme Lord, he got purified and he started practicing pure devotion. Then Artharthi is Dhruva Maharaj, again another case of Kripa Siddhi. It was Artharthi, then in the association of the Supreme Lord, his desires changed. He started practicing pure devotion. Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayache. Then Jigyasu, Shaunakadi Rishis, they say that it is mentioned that they came in the touch of Suta Goswami and then they became purified. And Jnanis, the four Kumaras, example is given. Like that. He did sadhana, but it was like a sakam sadhana only. He wanted to achieve a kingdom greater than. Then how all of a sudden when the Supreme Lord came, he said, Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayache. Yeah, but his bhakti became pure, but all of a sudden he was showing symptoms of prema. How he went from sakama bhakti to suddenly prema? Chumban nivasyena bujai rivaslishan. How all of a sudden it happened? He didn't perform any sadhana bhakti, jnana karma, dhyanavrita bhakti, anyabhilashita shunya bhakti, he did not perform. Maybe it was jnana karma dhyanavrita bhakti, I am not very sure. But definitely not anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. Then when anyabhilashita shunya bhakti is practiced on the level of vaidhi, then vaidhi sadhana, then bhava, then prema, then those symptoms manifest. Suddenly after seeing the Lord, how did those symptoms manifest? So that is why it is mentioned that he falls in the category of Kripa Siddhi only. Okay. Then one may ask, if the suffering of the living entities in this material world, it is because of prithaktvam, identifying with the body, ignorance, asmita, avidya asmita, ragadvesha and abhinivesh, avidya basically. Then vidya should solve the problem. Why bhakti? Vidya means path of jnana. So that should solve the problem. Why take up to bhakti? So that he addresses in this verse. Ajna pratartha karana nishinishayana nana manorata diyakshana bhagna nidraha daivaha tartara chanarishayopi deva yushmat prasanga vimuka iha samsaranti. O Lord, rishayaha api, even the jnanis, here rishis refers to the jnanis, artakarana, they have disturbed senses because the impressions are not completely wiped out. The material impressions or material sense gratificatory impressions are not completely wiped out. Okay. Ahnyaprita, they engage them during the day in performing their jnanakandi activities. But nishi nishayana, while sleeping at night, they don't have control. During the day, because they are jnanis, they are very much focused that I should not be engaging my senses in activities of sense gratification. But at night, what happens? Kshana bhagna nidra, their sleep is broken. How? Nana manorata diya, by various desires which are represented in the dreams. So whatever they are scrutinizingly avoiding to enjoy during the day, it comes and torments them at night in the form of dream. They cannot, they don't have a control over it. And ahata, thus they obtain artha rachana, the objects of enjoyment, daivena, whatever they are supposed to get according to their karma, they get. Iha samsaranti, in this way they continue to take birth. Why? Yushmat prasanga vimukha, because they are averse to your association. So he is talking about those jnanis who in their practice of jnana have no element of bhakti. So from that dry process of jnana, during the day they successfully say no to the pushing of the senses, but at night those unfulfilled desires get fulfilled, and therefore yushmat, and therefore iha samsaranti, their samsara continues, they can't escape. Why? All of this because yushmat prasanga vimukha. Therefore, even though they have vidya, but because that vidya does not have the support of bhakti, therefore they are not able to escape samsara. That is the point that is being mentioned here. So even these jnanis who have disturbed senses, they engage them during the day in jnanakandi activities, but at night they get trapped because of the absence of bhakti. But we know, when we have such troubles, we pray sincerely to Narsingadev and he takes care. Gajendra's prayers, what does he say? Whoever chants Gajendra's prayers would not be affected by bad dreams. But we don't chant for, of course, bad dreams we don't want, because the residue of the bad dreams affects our consciousness. Therefore, because we want to offer ourselves as much pure as possible to the Supreme Lord, therefore we may pray for any prayer for protecting our consciousness is not mukti kam. As Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers, he says, Naivodvije paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. He says that Naivodvije, I am not afraid of this material world. Paraduratyaya, for others it is very difficult to cross this ocean of material existence, but tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta, I will easily cross over it by singing your glories, chanting your glories, hearing your pastimes, like that. So he says, I am not afraid of material suffering. But then he, in the very next verse, he says that trastosmiham kripana vatsala dussahogra samsara chakra kadanad grasato panitaha baddha swakarma birushat tamatengri moolam preetopavarga sharanam hvayase kadanu. He says, He says, but my dear Lord, I am very afraid of this material world. One verse before only he said, I am not at all afraid. Next verse is, I am very afraid. Why? He says, you have put me in the association of all these demoniac personalities. They are all averse to you. In their association, I am afraid that I may also become averse to you. So, therefore he says, when will you take me to your lotus feet? Like that Prahlad Maharaj asks. It seems like he is having, his desire is mukti kam. But it is not mukti kam. Mukti kamna means to desire to escape the adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik kleshas of this material world. Not wanting to suffer is mukti kam. But not wanting to get one's consciousness contaminated, that is not mukti kam. That is a bhakti kam only. So therefore, this is brought out very nicely by Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers. On one side he says, naivodvijay. What he is not afraid of? He is not afraid of suffering in this material world. But what he is afraid of? He is afraid of bad association. That it will contaminate my consciousness. Like that. So here, these jnanis do not have a way of actually escaping their material desires. Because they don't have have the means to destroy the impressions. The impressions they may consciously avoid during the day. Tasmatvam indriyanyadav niyamya. That much they can do. But while sleeping, what they will do? So therefore, that's not the full solution that Krishna gives. Tasmatvam indriyanyadav is not the only solution. That we can do for some time. But then internally, we also have to develop a constitution that is wired up to say no to such impulses. And till that constitution develops, you know, we have to consciously avoid the sense objects. But we can't just do that and hope that it will help us overcome our material desires like that. One should not say that material existence caused by ignorance will be destroyed by jnana. Because even jnanis devoid of bhakti continue in this material world. Iha samsaranti. The sages described in this verse, averse to your association. Averse to your association, where is it mentioned? Yushmat prasanga vimuka. Continue in this world. What type of sages are these? Artha karana, they have disturbed senses, engaged during the day. They have enjoyable, which means they are saying no to sense objects is creating lot of pressure, and that pressure gets released at night in the form of dreams, because they don't have a sustainable way of erasing those desires. They are just saying no to the desires. For how long it will go? At some point it gets released. So ultimately they have to be erased and replaced with solid devotional desires. So otherwise mere erasing will also not help completely. So these jnanis who have no bhakti, they just say no and it doesn't work. And the other the jnana yogis who have an element of bhakti, they erase but do not replace. And devotees by practice of bhakti, they erase and replace. That is the most sustainable solution. They have enjoyable objects bestowed to them by karma, because according to their karma they have to enjoy. If they had taken up to bhakti, they would have escaped karma. But according to their karma, if they have to enjoy, they have to enjoy. Three types of persons trapped in the material world are described. The karmi who is addicted to sin is described in the seventh verse. Seventh verse is what? Shutra Tridatubir. Daivena te hatadiyo bhavata prasangat. Kurvanti kama sukalesha lavayadina lobabibhuta manaso akushalani shashvat. That is the person who is addicted to sin because of offenses. Second is the fool who is bewildered by hunger and thirst. Kshutra tridata birimamuhur ardhyamana. Okay. So, different classes of people. One who had bhakti but lost it because of offenses. That is seventh verse. And one who never got an opportunity to come in touch with devotees, they are considered as foolish. And the jnani is described in this verse, who is jnani without bhakti. Even though he is not a fool, he understands that this material world is a trap. But still, and he very consciously during the day avoids sense gratification. But still, he cannot overcome. Okay. Now, I will quickly read through some sections of purport. Okay, you have to identify which part of the verse Prabhupada is speaking about. As described, so be attentive, quickly you answer, let's not take more time here. As described in the previous verse, people who have no taste for devotional service of the Lord are occupied in material engagements. Most of them engage during the daytime in hard physical labor. Ahni aprita. Their senses are engaged very extensively in troublesome duties in the gigantic plants of heavy industrial enterprise. Artha karana. At night, hellishly engaged persons take advantage of wine and women to satisfy their tired senses. Prabhupada seems to be indicating that it refers to karmis, though Vishnu Chakra Thakur mentions that it is talking about jnanis. But either way, they are both are yushmat prasanga vimuka, therefore iha samsaranti. But they are not even able to have sound sleep because their various mental speculative plans constantly interrupt their sleep. Kshanabhagna nidra also. Nana manoratha diya kshanabhagna nidra. Because they suffer from insomnia, sometimes they feel sleepy in the morning for lack of sufficient rest. This seems like devotee's problem also. By the arrangement of supernatural power, Daiva. Even the great scientists and thinkers of the world suffer frustration of their various plans and thus rot in the material world birth after birth. Iha samsaranti. A great scientist may make discoveries in atomic energy for the quick destruction of the world and may be awarded the best prize in recognition of his service. But he also has to undergo the reactions of his work by rotating in the cycle of birth and death. Under the superhuman law of material nature, Daivena. All these people who are against the principle of devotional service are destined to rotate in this material world without fail. Yushmat prasanga vimuka iha samsaranti, both. This verse particularly mentions that even sages, rishayaha api, who are averse to the principles of devotional service to the Lord, are also condemned to undergo the terms of material existence. Then, ఈహ సంసరంతి. లేటర్ ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్, ద ఇంపర్సనలిస్ట్ హూ టేక్ మచ్ ట్రబుల్ ఇన్ పెనన్స్ అండ్ ఆస్టెరిటీ ఫర్ సెల్ఫ్ లిబరేషన్ మే అప్రోచ్ ద ఇంపర్సనల్ బ్రహ్మజ్యోతి, బట్ అల్టిమేట్లీ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ నాట్ బీయింగ్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ దే గ్లైడ్ డౌన్ అగైన్ టు ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. ప్రాక్టికలీ ద హోల్ వర్స్ ఓన్లీ, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ కవర్డ్ లైక్ దట్. ఓకే, ఇట్స్ అ లాంగ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బట్ విల్ మూవ్ అహెడ్. ఓకే, ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ భక్తి ఈవన్ వితౌట్ జ్ఞాన క్యాన్ ఇరేజ్ అండ్ రీప్లేస్. ఈవన్ వితౌట్ జ్ఞాన ఇట్స్ నాట్ అట్ ఆల్ పాసిబుల్. భక్తి యోగో వాసుదేవే భగవతి భక్తి యోగ ప్రయోజిత జనయత్యాశు వైరాగ్యం జ్ఞానం చేత హైతుకం. ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ దట్ భక్తి షుడ్ బి డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంపర్సనల్ జ్ఞాన్. జ్ఞాన కర్మాది అనావృతం, వన్ షుడ్ ఎన్ష్యూర్ దట్. సో హి సేస్ త్వం భక్తి యోగ పరిభావిత హృత్ సరోజ ఆస్యే శ్రుతేక్షిత పతో నను నాత పుంసాం యద్యద్యాత ఉరుగాయ విభావయంతి తత్తద్వపు ప్రణయసే సదనుగ్రహాయ. ఓ నాత, ఓ లార్డ్, త్వం యు శ్రుత ఈక్షిత పతః, యు ఆర్ అప్రోచ్డ్ బై బీయింగ్ హర్డ్ అబౌట్ సీన్ అండ్ డైరెక్ట్లీ సర్వ్డ్. శ్రుత ఈక్షిత పతః, అండ్ వాట్ డు యూ డూ? ఎంటర్ అండ్ రిమైన్. ఆసే మీన్స్ టు రిమైన్. రిమైన్ వేర్? పుంసాం హృత్ సరోజ, ఇన్ ది లోటస్ హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ డివోటీస్ విచ్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ భక్తి యోగ పరిభావిత, విచ్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ బై భక్తి. ఓ ఉరుగాయ, ఓ మచ్ ప్రైజ్డ్ లార్డ్, తే సదనుగ్రహాయ, బై యువర్ మర్సిఫుల్ యాటిట్యూడ్ టువర్డ్స్ ద డివోటీస్ ప్రణయసే యు బెస్టో టు దెమ్ తత్తద్వపు స్పిరిచువల్ బాడీస్ యద్యద్ధియా విభావయంతి అప్రాప్రియేట్ టు ద మూడ్ దే కల్టివేట్ డ్యూరింగ్ దేర్ సాధన. వాట్ ఎవర్ మూడ్ దే కల్టివేట్ డ్యూరింగ్ దేర్ సాధన, అప్రాప్రియేట్ స్పిరిచువల్ బాడీ ఇస్ అవార్డెడ్ టు ద డివోటీస్. సో త్వం భక్తియోగ పరిభావిత హృత్ సరోజ ఆసే యు సిచ్యువేట్ అండ్ పుంసాం హృత్ సరోజ ఆసే. ఓకే, ననునాత పుంసాం యద్యద్ధియాత ఉరుగాయ విభావయంతి, యద్యద్ధియా విభావయంతి ఇన్ వాట్ ఎవర్ మూడ్ దే కల్టివేట్ తత్తద్వపు ప్రణయసే. ప్రణయసే మీన్స్ యు బెస్టో. యు బెస్టో అ బాడీ విచ్ ఇస్ అప్రాప్రియేట్ టు ది మూడ్ దట్ దే హ్యావ్ కల్టివేటెడ్ డ్యూరింగ్ దర్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ సాధన. దిస్ ఇస్ వన్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. అనదర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ యాజ్ మెన్షన్ బై శిల ప్రభుపాద్ ఇస్ యద్యద్ధియాత ఉరుగాయ విభావయంతి, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఫామ్ ఇన్ విచ్ దే వర్షిప్ యూ డ్యూరింగ్ దేర్ సాధన తత్తద్వపు ప్రణయసే, దట్ వెరీ సేమ్ ఫామ్ యు మేనిఫెస్ట్ వెన్ దే అచీవ్ సాధ్య డ్యూరింగ్ ద స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ సాధ్య. దిస్ ఇస్ అనదర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. We will see the, most of you would have memorized this verse, right? Is there anyone who has not memorized this verse? Okay, only two, that's okay. You should memorize it later. But even without jnana, bhakti even without jnana delivers one from material existence. But more than that, by bhakti the Lord becomes dependent on the devotee. Deliverance is secondary. Jarayatyashu yakosham nigiranam analoyata. Kapil Dev mentions liberation is only a secondary accomplishment, byproduct. Yeah. Bhavita means infused with. Paribhavita. Pari means from all sides, completely. As in peri, perimeter. So paribhavita means completely infused from all sides. What is infused? The heart is infused. With what? Bhakti yoga. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja. Or the phrase can mean in the devotee's hearts manifested by bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the cause of Lord's manifesting himself. You enter the hearts of the devotees and remain there. Ase means you remain. You do not leave. This is confirmed by verse 5. Napaishi nata hridayam buruhat savpumsam. Krishna does not want to leave. So, even if the devotee may want to leave, Krishna does not want to leave. That is the meaning of Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajen Mukunda sevi anyavad atra samsritim Smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar Vihatu michen na rasagrahojana. Krishna does not want to give up the heart of that devotee. Your path is first being heard about from the mouth of the Guru. Shruta Ikshita Pato. You see through your ears. The devotee smelled through their ears. Now Jikhranti. Now Ikshita. Through Shruta. Shruta Ikshita. Your path is first being heard from the mouth of the Guru, then seen, then directly served. Hearing leads to seeing, leads to serving. By this path you are brought to the devotee's lotus heart. When they hear through their Guru, then see, then serve, and by that paribhavita, when their heart become transformed, then you are attracted to their heart. The implication is that the devotees know this path of sadhana bhakti well. That is the meaning. The consequent implication is that the person who desires to attain the Lord should understand this path of sadhana bhakti. Even without hearing, the devotees meditate on your various forms using their mind. You reveal those forms to the devotee. This is the meaning according to Sridhar Swami. He gives Sridhar Swami's meaning also. Or, your devotees doing sadhana concentrate on their spiritual form according to their mood or love using their minds, and you have them attain their spiritual bodies. You become dependent on your devotee. Like that. So, either the Supreme Lord manifests the form that the devotee worships during his sadhana, or whatever mood the devotee is cultivating, a body appropriate to that mood is awarded to the devotee. Like that. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, a paraphrase. This verse indicates how the Lord becomes subordinate to a devotee whose heart is infused with bhakti. But this indicates the state of prema. But to reach this state of prema, one has to follow the process of shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya and so on. Sadhana bhakti has to be followed. This process is indicated by shruta ikshita pata. So, Shruta Ikshita Pata means that which starts with Shravanam and ends with Ikshanam, directly realizing the Lord. So, then he says, every jiva has a natural inclination for a particular form of the Lord. because he is eternally a servant of the Lord, in particular type of service relationship, this eternal relationship called Swarupa Siddhi can be invoked by sadhana bhakti. What is Prabhupada talking about? Yadyad diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Okay. So that's about pure devotional service, how it attracts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now one may say, I don't have pure devotion, can I compensate for that lack of pure devotion with some opulence? Prabhuji, aap jaisa utna pure iccha nahi hai, but can I compensate it with opulence? Well, I have lot of money. So nishkama karma, so like for example the worship of the devatas, they are so potent that they can get the best ingredients from everywhere and worship the Lord, whereas the pratishthan poor brahmana, as mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, who is mentally preparing his sweet rice and you know, mentally offering things because physically he does not have any capacity to offer it. So, which is better? Here they have physically the capacity to fetch the best ingredients. Here is a person who does not, all that he can offer is some water only. Nothing more than that physically. So here in the next verse, Brahmaji says, Nati prasidati tato pachito pacharair aradita suraganair hridibaddha kamaihi yat sarva bhuta dayaya sadalabhyayaiko nana janeshvavahita suhridantaratma. So he says, Ekaha, my dear Lord, you, Suhrid, you are the friend of the devotees. Antaratma, and you are the neutral soul within all beings. And you, na ati prasidati, you are not so pleased, aradita, being worshipped, upachita upacharaihi, with many, many items, shodashopachar, suraganaihi, by the devatas, hridi baddha kamaihi, but whose hearts are filled with material desires. They are Mishra Bhaktas generally. Nana Janeshvavahitaha. How does Krishna know what is there in my heart? I am offering wonderful, externally wonderful things. Devotees maybe cannot see, but Krishna can see. That is why it is mentioned Nana Janeshvavahitaha. He is very alert to what people have in their heart.
Also antaratma.
Suhrid antaratma. Yata sarva bhuta daya. As much as you are pleased, you are not so much pleased with the offerings of the devatas whose heart is filled with material desires. As much as you are pleased with devotees. Why? Sarva bhuta dayaya. Because devotees have a natural feeling of compassion towards others. Because they have something very valuable, they want to share it with others. Asat alabhyaya. But this mercy is not attainable by non-devotees. So non-devotees no mercy, mixed devotees some mercy, pure devotees full mercy. Like that. Na ati prasidati. The Lord is not so pleased. Tata, to that extent. Upachita upacharaihi. Even though one may offer the best of the ingredients in offering. Aradito suraganaihi, which are offered by the demigods. Why is the Supreme Lord not pleased with the offerings of the demigods? Hridibaddha kama. హృదిబద్ధ కామయోహి, బికాస్ దేర్ హార్ట్ ఇస్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్. యత్ సర్వభూత దయయా, యాజ్ మచ్ యాజ్ హీస్ ప్లీజ్డ్ విత్ ద డివోటీ హూస్ హార్ట్ ఇస్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ కంపాషన్ టువర్డ్స్ అదర్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ హూ ప్రీచెస్, యా హూ ప్రీచెస్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ కంపాషన్. Many devotees feel, you know, I am very good at preaching, I should be preaching. So, not in that mood, that is also okay. The overnight nothing changes. If we have that desire, at least we are using it in Krishna's service.
So that should be converted and purified. Huh?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Ultimate stage of preaching is preaching.
Yeah. Preaching because of compassion. Preaching with compassion is the intermediate stage. Out of compassion, yeah. Intermediate stage. And preaching out of compassion is the top stage. Okay. So like that, is it clear? But asad alabhyaya, that mercy is not available to non-devotees. Like that. You stay in the heart of pure devotees, but not in the hearts of devotees still having material desires. The previous verse said, Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja ase shrutekshita pato. But what about if some material desires are there? Material desires means desire on the level of Shraddha. They are seeing that material desires as worthy to be accomplished, not worthy to be removed. There is a difference.
Can you say that
God stays but He does not reciprocate desire? No, He stays as Paramatma in everyone's heart. But as Bhagavan.
Reciprocation is not there. It's a degree material desires are there.
Yeah. So material desires, that's what I'm telling, the material desires can be on the level of Shraddha or Swabhav. On the level of Shraddha, the material desire, if it is there on the level of Shraddha, it is called mixed devotion. If it is there on the level of Swabhava, it is called Sadhana Bhakti. Like that. You are not so pleased with the worship by the Devata. That is why specifically the Devatas are mentioned. Otherwise you would have mentioned Sadhana, Sadhakas, Sadhana Bhakti. Those who are practicing Sadhana Bhakti. Even though they may also have material desires, but they are praying for the removal of those material desires. You are not so pleased with the worship of the Devatas having material desires because they have selfishness. They do not show mercy to all living entities. They are concerned about their own elevation. But you are spontaneously very pleased with the pure devotees because they think of others and are naturally full of mercy for all beings. That is why this is said to be the crest jewel of all good qualities. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu, or it is mentioned compassion towards other living entities, because this is a reflection of the crest jewel of Krishna's qualities, which is bhakta vatsalya. So you are not so pleased with the worship by the Devatas having material desires because they have selfishness. They do not show mercy to all living entities. But you are spontaneously very pleased with the pure devotees because they think of others and are naturally full of mercy for all beings. As much as you are pleased with the devotee because he shows mercy to all beings, which is not available to the materialists, you are not pleased with the Devatas. Na ati prasidati. You are not completely pleased with the Devatas. He is pleased that they are at least they are worshipping Vishnu. But he is not as pleased as the pure devotees who are worshipping Vishnu for his pleasure. You alone are attentive to various people. This means that they become liberated by attaining bhakti by the mercy of the devotees. You see? Even the devatas become liberated by attaining bhakti by the mercy of devotees. So mixed devotees, by performing mixed devotional service, automatically their desires do not get transformed. Unless a pure devotee comes. Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, Dhruva Maharaj is a wrong example. Harsha Shoka. Nalakvera and Manigriva, you can say. Yeah, they were devatas. They came in touch with Narada Muni, then they became pure devotees. Like that. And it is mentioned in 10th canto that Narada Muni came and touched Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Touched means he transformed, he cursed them. And while they were trees, they were performing sadhana bhakti. It is mentioned. It's very difficult, but it is not impossible. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. It can be performed anywhere. It can be performed in hell also. But the circumstances are not so favorable. But still it is not impossible. It is improbable that someone would do it there. But it is not impossible. You can. Even in Brahma Jyoti, it is possible. Okay. This means that... this is very important purport. This means that they become liberated by attaining bhakti by the mercy of devotees only. Only devotees have to come and transform the desires of mixed devotees also. So mixed devotees, by continuing mixed devotional service, will not become pure. It is not possible. Just even though they are worshipping Krishna, but they will remain mixed devotees only if they don't come in touch with a pure devotee. You are their benefactor. If this is so, the Lord may ask, why do I not deliver these mixed devotees by myself? Why do I not personally give mercy to them? He says, because you are the soul within your devotee also. You place in those devotees your kripa shakti for delivering the world to give them fame. Whereas you remain neutral as Paramatma in all beings. You remain as Paramatma and you want your devotees to get the fame. Therefore the Lord does not do. And also, if the Lord does, he would be called partial. Why someone and on the other side, he does not want to directly meddle with the free will of the living entity. That's why. By using two words, Suhrid and Antaratma, the faults of hatred and partiality in the Lord are defeated. And great affection for the devotee is indicated. How? Can you explain this last sentence? Just raise your hands and you can speak. Yes, Yagnesh Prabhu.
Suhrid means he is very affectionate to all the people. So he is not very hateful.
Okay.
And he is also concerned about everyone. Therefore he is considered the antaratma.
Okay.
He is not partial.
Okay, as Antaratma is not partial, so his neutrality and absence of hatred is indicated by Antaratma, and his affection for the devotee is indicated by the word Suhrit. One should not say that everyone will become liberated when the devotee shows mercy to all beings. When the devotee shows mercy to all beings, everyone will become liberated. The devotee showing mercy to all beings means that they show mercy to a great extent, since it is shown that the mercy of the devotees does not spread everywhere completely. We were discussing, I think last time, that a devotee is also not omnipotent and omniscient also. Therefore, it does not necessarily spread everywhere. The usage is like saying, all the men are holding up umbrellas. This means that many men are holding up umbrellas, though a few amongst them may not. Like that. So, the mercy are, devotees are mentioned as Sarva Bhuta Dayaya. Oh, which means they have shown their mercy to everyone. They have Sarva Bhuta Dayaya, mercy for all living entities, but they don't have the capacity to give, shower the mercy on everyone in that sense. Or the effect of giving mercy to all beings does not result in liberation for all. Even though seeds are sown everywhere, seeds do not grow in salty earth. One does not see positive results in the mercy that Narada and others gave to persons such as Daksha. Narada convinced Daksha's sons not to pursue material life, and Daksha cursed him. So now, this is where there are two aspects to this story. Narada, Daksha cursed Narada, one reason is offense to Lord Shiva. He had already offended Lord Shiva. That is one angle to it. Another thing is, a devotee in himself is incapable of being appealing to everyone. Like for example, like we were discussing, someone may have a hatred to those with Indian body. So Daksha had a specific hatred. For now, you just remove the this aspect of Daksha offending Narada Muni because of his past serious offense to Lord Shiva. Forget that part. But the point is, in this case, Daksha had a specific hatred to Narada Muni because he had done something personal to Daksha. He had converted. Daksha was a prajapati, his purpose was to generate population, and for that he had created Shavalaswas and Haryashwas. Both of them he converted into renunciants. So that personal vendetta was there with Narada Muni. That's why Narada Muni was not very effective in transforming Daksha. But if someone else would have come, and if you, if Daksha would not have previously severely offended Lord Shiva, then Daksha could have taken up. So, so the same way, you know, we cannot be very effective in preaching to our family members because we have done something personal and they may hold something personally against us. But someone else, their own friends who has taken up to Krishna consciousness, they may come in touch with the parents and they may have an effect on them. Like that. So therefore, even though devotees have Sarva Bhuta Daya, but their ability to express that Daya to all living entities is limited. Is it clear? Yagnesh Prabhu, you seem little, you're thinking of your next service or you're thinking of this point. Yeah. Narada Muni. Finally they got delivered, correct? Yeah. But that does not mean that someone who unfavorably comes in touch with a devotee will also get delivered. It will not be, it will be very slow, you can say, at the most. And naturally, a devotee's ability to get in touch with all people is also limited. That is also there. So, it's not that a devotee can get in touch with the whole world. It's not possible. They have limited capacity to whatever limited capacity they may touch. And even if they touch, they will get some sukriti, and then eventually it may take many, many lifetimes for them to accumulate more sukriti to actually take up to bhakti also. Like that. So the ability of the devotee to actually touch and transform is also limited. Like that. Okay, let's... Brahmanda Tarite Shakti. The associates of Lord Chaitanya, definitely, you know, one Vasudev that could deliver one universe only. That is possible, but they are like Nityasiddha devotees. A special category devotees. But Prabhupada is there.
But devotee was asking question that if the mosquito biting the stitch of nostril feet and sucking blood, will he get some mercy?
Will he get some mercy? See, he is not purposefully doing it for sure. So, some minimal benefit will be there because of the compassion of the... when Prabhupada gave that example, he said, you don't be a mosquito sucking blood from the spiritual master. You don't trouble. But if really a mosquito comes and bites... That's the nature of mosquito. Some minimal benefit will definitely be there. Yeah. But that does not mean that you also become like a mosquito and keep sucking blood from the spiritual master. That's not what it means. Okay.
When we are preaching, some might get success, some devotees may not get success. Depends on their past karma or their...
Some devotees may get, may be successful in reaching out to many people. One reason could be purity. Purity is the force. Another reason, actually it is mentioned that, what is that? Tara Pravartan, what is it? Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Pravartan. So, that also is there. Without Krishna Shakti, you cannot really preach. So, the understanding of that verse is that it does not talk about the number of people that are created, that number of devotees that are created. It talks about the quality of the people. How sincerely have they surrendered to Krishna? That is an indication of that this person has been empowered by Krishna Shakti.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does not necessarily mean that Diksha is not necessary. But having said that, a person who has not physically received Diksha but mentally accepted the Guru's lotus feet, he can be very efficient. Like all these, many of these devotees are preaching, they have not yet been physically initiated, but I am sure within their heart they have very sincerely accepted. They are trying, they are having a wonderful effect also.
What about that shloka where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Harinam is enough for deliverance?
That has to be understood in conjunction with the other teachings of that one statement cannot be made into a siddhanta. It has to be seen that from the in totality of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Parampara has taught all the while. So they have therefore that one statement and that one Harinam has to be received in Parampara only. So Rupa Goswami, to whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught in Dashashvamedha Ghat, he subsequently compiled Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He mentions in one of the 64 limbs, Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam. He emphasizes the importance of Diksha also. So therefore, one cannot say that, it is not important. It is important, definitely. So one cannot minimize that. It has traditionally always been in our parampara emphasized, and everyone has accepted it. So we cannot minimize it like that. Okay, so we'll move ahead. Then in the next prayer he says, Pumsamato vividakarma biradvaradyair danena chogra tapasa paricharyayacha aradhanam bhagavatastava to dharmorpita karihichit mriyatena yatra. Then he says, even Mishra Bhakti does not actually go in vain. Even though in the previous verse he is critical, he is seemingly critical of mixed devotional service. Next verse he says, actually kuch nahi hai, to at least do Mishra Bhakti, that is good. So he says, Pumsam Bhagavataha Aradhanam. When men perform worship of the Supreme Lord, Vivida Karmabir, by secular actions, Advaradyaihi, by Vedic rites, Danena cha ugra tapasa, by charity or severe austerity, paricharyaya or by service, satkriyarto, they obtain the best results of action. What is the best result of that action? The bhakti is already there. So what is the best result mentioned here? Okay. Huh?
Never perish.
Okay.
They will develop in attraction to a devotee.
That is possible.
They are able to offer to the Lord.
They are offering it anyway to the Lord. Whatever they identify as their goal, they will achieve that. That's what it means. Tava arpita dharma mriyatena karhichit, because such acts offered to the Lord never perish. They can eternally have that benefit also. Provided they are asking for an eternal benefit. If they ask for, some temporary thing, then they will get the temporary thing only. Since those without material desires are best in bhakti, bhakti in the form of secular and Vedic actions offered to the Lord with predominance of attachment to pure bhakti brings about absence of material desires. Let's read further. Worship through various ordinary actions, vivida karmabir, through Vedic rites which are offered to you are successful. This is taught by the Lord with Yat Karoshi Yadashnasi in the Gita. When bhakti is most prominent, karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti or yoga mishra bhakti, when bhakti is most prominent, all ordinary and Vedic acts are offered. Whereas in karma yoga, when bhakti is secondary, only the varnashram activities, their fruits are offered. So karmanyevadikaraste maafaleshu kadachana is karma yoga. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhosi dadasiyat is karma mishra bhakti. Patram pushpam phalam toyam is shuddha bhakti. So three stages are there. One is offering when the bhakti is very weak, then only the fruits of the varnashram duties are offered to the Lord. When the bhakti becomes little more stronger, the fruits of all activities, Vedic or Varnashram or non-Varnashram, everything is offered to the Lord. When the bhakti becomes pure, then only those activities which the Lord relishes, they are performed and offered to the Lord. Like that. Karmanyevadikarastema phaleshu kadachana. These are all. When bhakti is a secondary element, the Vedic acts are offered, but not the ordinary acts. In pure bhakti, only the ordinary acts such as hearing and chanting are offered. Hearing, chanting, they are not varnashram duties. Anyone can do that. That are also offered. This is the difference caused by the motive in offering. Worship of the Lord brings about the best acts because dharma offered to you is never destroyed but transforms into worship. As it is mentioned in the first canto, teachings of Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. What is that verse? Not that. Later, little later he says. Worship of the Lord. Dharma offered to you transforms into worship. This is mentioned in one of the verses. Not that. Okay, anyway, if I remember, I'll tell you. This means that dharma, whose main object is fulfillment of material desires, is destroyed. Yadatra kriyate karma bhagavat paritoshanam jnanam yattad adinam hi bhakti yoga samanvitam, he says. Yeah. Yeah.
So if somebody wants to do pure bhakti, and if he does only chanting and hearing, which somebody will not be able to do because he is not pure bhakti. He has to also do some practical service.
Yeah, that is also pure. That is part of pure bhakti only, no? Yeah, that is not karma yoga.
Yeah, that is also pure bhakti. But in case somebody wants to do only hearing and chanting, and he is able to do that particular asana.
Okay, if someone wants to do only hearing and chanting, is that considered pure bhakti? It can potentially be considered as pure bhakti. But it is also anushilanam. It has to be guided by devotees, because there are examples when Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, before he became, when he was a brahmachari, so at that time when he was staying in the ashram of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would throughout the day only chant. Any services he would not do. And at that time Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, the sannyas guru of Prabhupada, at that time he was the temple commander. He would go and report to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that he is not doing any service, he is just sitting and chanting throughout the day. So he says, he told, from today I relieve you of all services. Even your prasad will come to your place of chanting. You can sit and chant. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, we will take care of handling the mutt, don't worry. Don't think that the mutt is running because of you. We will handle the mutt. You sit and chant. He said, see if you can do it. So, Keshav Maharaj reported against Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in response to that, he said, from today, I am relieving you also of your temple commander duties. You can also sit along with Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj and chant throughout the day. And your prasadam also, we will send it, we will give you a room and you don't have to worry. He tried it for a few days and he said, I can't do it. So please give me back my services. So I need my services. So if someone is able to do, a bona fide spiritual master can identify such genuine people and he may give them that facility. But someone may not have that genuine desire also, and he might actually need the association of devotees and service to actually protect him. When the bona fide spiritual master may identify that and he may instruct him accordingly also. But the plain answer to your question, if someone is just hearing and chanting, is that, can that be considered as pure devotional service? Perfect, why not? That is the highest form of pure devotional service, if someone can chant throughout. No, we can always see, spiritual master does not necessarily just mean Diksha Guru. We can accept Siksha Guru, and if we are sincere, we will not wait for the Siksha Guru to come and tell us. We may approach the Siksha Guru to ask, I am doing like this, is that okay? So if someone is not doing and waiting for the Siksha Guru to come or Diksha Guru to come and do, then that indicates little lack of sincerity. If we want to offer the best service to Krishna, then we will take guidance from our authorities and we will do it like that.
We should not wait for the spiritual master
to come.
He will not come.
He may come, may not come, but we have to Hearing and chanting means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam and so on. It includes entire 64 limbs. It involves. But they are all, in one sense, like ordinary activities only. They are not like Varnashram activities. Performing your particular Varna duty, Ashram duty, those are not mentioned. Hearing, anyone speaks, you can hear. It's in one sense an ordinary activity. Chanting, you open your mouth, you are already chanting. And so on. So those are in one sense seemingly ordinary activity from one point of view. In that sense. The Vedic activities are Varnashram activities. Which sentence you are talking about? You tell me. And then, is it in this last two? When bhakti is most prominent, which means pradhani bhuta bhakti, whatever he does, he wants to offer the fruits to Krishna. That is, okay, three categories of people are mentioned. Let's say fourth category, one more category we will add. Materialist. He will do whatever he wants, he likes to do, and will not offer anything to Krishna. Next category, Karma Yogi. Karma Yogi. He will perform activities according to his Varna and Ashrama, and only those results of those Varna Ashram activities he may offer it to Krishna. Okay. Next is Karma Mishra Bhakta. He will perform, he is attached to performing Varnashram duties. He will offer those fruits to Krishna. But even the ordinary duties that he performs, even those fruits he will offer to Krishna. Pure devotee, he first finds out what activities are pleasing to Krishna and only performs those activities for his pleasure. Four categories of people like that. Okay. Then so therefore basically in this verse he says that if you cannot perform pure devotional service, at least have the element of bhakti in your practice. So then he continues, then he offers his obeisances to both the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, which is worshipped by the Jnani, and to the personal form of the Lord, which is worshipped by the devotee. Shashvat Swarupa Mahasaiva Nipita Beda Mohaya Bodha Dishanaya Namaparasmai Vishvodbhavastiti Layesho Nimitta Leela Rasayate Namayidam Chakrameshwaraya Namaha. I offer respects Parasmai to the Supreme Brahman. Nipita Beda Mohaya. I offer respects to the Supreme Brahman which destroys ignorance. Swarupa Mahasa Eva, by its eternal effulgence of consciousness. Bodha Dishanaya, and gives intelligence by its realization. That way he is offering obeisances to Brahman feature. Namaha Chakrama Ishwaraya, and I also offer my respects to the Supreme Lord Ishwara. Rasaya, who enjoys Leela, who enjoys with Maya by his glance, for what? Vishwa Udbhava Stiti Layeshu Nimitta, for the purpose of creating, maintaining and destroying this universe. Like that. So like that he is offering obeisances to both forms of the Supreme Lord. Offering respects. Respects to the Brahman feature of the Lord. Offering respects. Offering, respecting it as a feature of the absolute truth. In that sense. So here it is mentioned. Did we chant the verse? We chanted the verse, right? Okay. So here it is mentioned, having delineated two types of worship for the devotees, Brahma offers respect, because he spoke about the Jnana Marga and he spoke about Bhakti. So having delineated these two types of worship for the devotees, Brahma offers respect to the forms of the Lord worshipped by the Jnani and the devotee. I offer respect to that form which destroys the illusion of difference by eternal consciousness, just as the ocean was swallowed by Agastya. I offer respects to that form from which arises intelligence caused by realization of that form. This he is talking about Brahman, Bodha Dishanaya. I offer my respects to the impersonal form. I offer my respects to the personal form of the Lord, who enjoys by the pastime of glancing at Maya, the cause of the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. Rasayate namaidam chakrameshwaraya. There is a pastime of when for some reason Agastya swallowed the whole ocean. I have heard this story, but I am not able to recollect. Anyone knows? Demons were hiding in the ocean.
And then God wanted to kill them, but that's why he swallowed the ocean. Then demons were exposed them. Demigods killed them.
Then demigods killed them.
What I heard was that there was some disturbance caused by the ocean when he was meditating. So he just made it into his accommodated into his palm, whole ocean.
And
he drank it off.
Drank it off. Yeah. Maybe one of the two stories. He says that I offer respects to that from which that form which destroys the illusion of difference by eternal consciousness, just as the ocean was swallowed by Agastya. So Brahman realization destroys the illusion of difference. Ocean of illusion, like that.
The last line of that offering obeisances to the impersonal form?
Impersonal form.
What is said like cause of the creation and destruction, like your personal form?
Nay, next. Next is personal. So he ends by mentioning that I offer respects to this impersonal form, which, as mentioned above, illusion of difference means thinking this material variety to be actual variety.
Is that duality?
Duality. Yeah. So then the last line, he actually is offering obeisances to the personal form, who enjoys the pastime of glancing at Maya, which is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of the universe. Or the meaning can be, O cause of creation, maintenance and destruction, I offer respects to the Lord who playfully danced with the gopis with pastimes. This is another meaning given by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Like that. Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Supreme Lord is eternally distinguished from the living entities by his internal potency, although he is also understood in his impersonal feature by self-realized intelligence. Devotees of the Lord therefore offer all respectful obeisances unto the impersonal feature of the Lord. The word rasa is significant here. The rasa dance is performed by Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada also gives that explanation. In the company of cowherd damsels at Vrindavan, and the personality of God at Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is also engaged in rasa enjoyment with his external potency, by which he creates, maintains and dissolves the entire material manifestation. So both are explained. Indirectly, Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Shri Krishna, who is factually ever engaged in rasa enjoyment with the gopis, as confirmed in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Like that. So we will end here. I think many devotees have already, they have services of cooking and other things. So we will end here and we will continue this discussion further next time when I come in November after the Yatra.
Brahma, now at this place, Brahma has seen the Lord's eternal form of Krishna?
Yeah, that's how the acharyas explain. Gopal Tapani Upanishad, recorded from Gopal Tapani.
From the Samhita, he has realized everything.
At this point of time, I am not very sure. Maybe, may not be, I am not sure. Was Brahma Samhita spoken by this Brahma? I would presume, maybe. That time, not very sure. When exactly it was spoken, I don't know. See, Brahmaji, when he on the first day only, when he met the Supreme Lord, he spoke the Chatushloki. From that time onwards, he has been endowed with the But when exactly did he compile and speak this Brahma Samhita, that I am not aware.
Again, he got covered by ignorance. Every day he gets. Actually, he was given promise by the Supreme Lord.
So, two occasions I can recollect where he got bewildered. One was the walk episode where he runs after his own daughter. But that there it is mentioned that this episode happened before the Chatushloki was spoken. That's how the Acharyas explain. Second is Brahma Vimohan Leela. That the Acharyas explain happened under the influence of Yoga Maya and not Mahamaya. Madhukaitab, he was overpowered, not he was not overcome by illusion. Madhukaitab episode I need to check up how exactly the Acharyas explain. So then I can comment on it. Maybe it could have also happened before the Chatushloki, or as he mentions, it could have been he was just overpowered by the power of Madhu and Kaitaba. It could be in that way also. Correct. I am not very sure about it. I need to, you know, how the Acharyas are explaining, I need to see. There must be some explanation for it. But I don't remember reading an explanation. Otherwise, you know, there could be multiple reasons, but what exactly is the reason the Acharyas need to clarify? It happened during the first day of Brahma. That much is clear. But whether what exactly had happened before that exactly is not mentioned, because it could have been the first day of Brahma.
It was a very short time.
Okay, now that you have asked, officially the discussion is over. Let's go to the walk episode and see if something is mentioned here. That comes in because I remember reading it, that it happened before the Chatushloki was spoken. I remember reading it. I think it happens in the 3rd canto, 11th chapter or 10th chapter. No, not 11th. It must be 10th or 12th. Okay, let's see.
Every day of Brahma or every
Brahma?
Huh?
3:12, na? It can't be 11th. It has to be either 10 or 12. 3:12, na? Okay. Let's see. The walk episode, okay. 20. The phrase also indicates that this incident was not seen by anyone in the present kalpa. Rather, it happened in a previous distant kalpa and is now being explained. Since it cannot be accepted to have occurred after Brahma heard the four essential verses of Bhagavatam. So it happened before. And he quotes this verse. Etan matam samatishta paramena samadina bhavan kalpa vikalpeshu navimuhyati karhichit. Follow my instructions in detail with extreme concentration. You will not be bewildered at any time during your lifetime and its subdivisions. Like that.
There were some kalpas which happened before he
heard Jagat. That's how I am understanding. It happened during the first year of Brahma. It may not be during the first day of Brahma. Or another understanding is, he says, when you are able to follow these instructions in detail with extreme concentration, then you will not be bewildered. So as soon as we hear an instruction, we may not be able to immediately follow it with extreme determination and concentration. So maybe during that time it is quite possible that he got bewildered. Yeah. Oh, that conversation happens much later. The Chatushloki, don't take it in terms of chapters. The chapters are not in chronological order. That statement is spoken to Narada Muni much later. Later, at least, if not much later, at least later. But in my understanding, either some kalpas had passed before Chatushloki had spoken, or at least there was some time till Brahmaji could follow it in all its details, follow the instructions in all its detail with extreme concentration. So that could be the reason. But definitely, this is a promise given by the Supreme Lord. Definitely it could not have happened after he had started practicing it with full concentration and in full details. That's clarified here. So here clearly Vishnu Jagadagur says, rather it happened in a previous distant kalpa and is now being explained, since it cannot be accepted to have occurred after Brahma heard the four essential verses. Which means definitely few kalpas had passed before the Chatushloki had been spoken. That's the understanding.
How many kalpas did he learn?
One day is one kalpa.
During the first day of
the Brahma,
the four essential verses of Bhagavatam in the Vishnu
Chakra.
In the bracket, it is said that during the first day of this Brahma
Sakta. So then, probably the word kalpa is used in a different sense. It may be the first. See, the word kalpa is used in different senses actually. Thousand Divya Yugas is also called one kalpa. Of course, that is one day of Brahma. And or sometimes one Divya Yuga is also sometimes called as one kalpa. Like that. When used in Brahmaji's lifespan, in his terminology, one kalpa is one day. In our terminology, when we say kalpa bed, it just means it happened in a different Kali Yuga. Even if it maybe have been Kali Yuga, when you say kalpa bed, it means different Kali Yuga, not this Kali Yuga. Like that. Why does it? The first time he is empowered, he need not be repeatedly. Of course, repeated empowerment is sometimes there. Just for us to understand that Brahmaji's ability to create is coming from the Supreme Lord.
But really, the conversation which is going on in the third
current conversation. Yeah.
Then Brahma goes to search for the Lord and the
Adama. So those needs to be seen, that they may just be Like Bharat Maharaj running after a deer, which has been orchestrated by the Lord to show to others that that Brahmaji's power of creation, as it was mentioned before, Brahmaji's power of creation is not independent, it is dependent on the Supreme Lord, just to show that. Same as Lord Shiva running behind the Mohini Murti. All of them are to show the supremacy of Krishna. Like that.
This has happened 5,000 years ago. So there were kings ruling the whole planet. So archaeologically, has anybody tried to relate Bhagavatam with the proof of archaeological things?
Yeah, Dhrutakarma Prabhu and Sadaput Prabhu have evaluated lot of archaeological records. Not directly examining the archaeological records, but then many papers and presentations that have been to the existence of human beings much beyond what the Darwinists claim. That much is there, but what kind of archaeological archaeological record to prove what? Where does it say pyramid was built by Puru?
That is Prabhupada disciple is there. Prabhu. His name is Nanda.
Oh, okay. So Nanda Nandan Prabhu. Sri Nanda Nandan.
Swarakaya Pravesh is there, na, Prabhu. His last son was banished. Last son was retained. The other sons were banished from India.
Achha.
So they went and they started and they built. And all this has been verified. Inside the pyramid is the shlokas of Bhagavatam.
I have no idea.
Because earlier it was accepted only Indians could build such things, nobody else could do it. So here he gives lot of proof, hundreds of authors and other books he quotes.
Possible, I don't know. Earlier though the whole thing was called Bharat Varsha only. We have to look at the proofs, Prabhuji. Prabhupada, it may be, may not be, we are not surprised. Because Bhagavatam clearly says that, you know, the whole, what to speak of whole, it talks about Priyavrat Maharaj ruling the whole Bhumandal also. So correct. So therefore we should not be surprised actually. But and we don't have to really spend time finding out whether not because it's material, because we have better things to do. If that offense takes him slowly out of bhakti only, then yeah. No. That shraddha that he has, to whatever level it has developed, sometimes when the right uddipan comes, it starts. He may start from one round, but very quickly you will see him reaching 16 rounds and progressing. So it's not that if someone has been practicing bhakti, let's say in this life for 10 years, already chanting 16 rounds and doing all that, it's not that he will be born with a bead bag in his hand. That's not necessary. He may actually take up to Krishna consciousness during his college life only, or maybe even later. when the right Uddipan comes, then at that time his past Purvabhyas, like our Yagnesh Prabhu was chanting that verse today, 6th chapter. Purvabhyasena teneiva hriyate avashopi saha shabda brahmadi vartate. What is the meaning? And get reinstated there. But that attraction and reinstatement need not be directly from the womb of the mother. Sometimes the right opportunity will come, the thing will be created, at that time he will get attracted and move quite faster. There are many cases where two people came together to Krishna consciousness, but the other person is taken up very fast. Yamuna, they are like Nitya Parshadas. So we are talking about even sadhana siddhas. You can clearly see or you can sort of understand that he must have had some past life practice. Very quickly they take up to, they may start from first one round, but very quickly they will reach 16 rounds, will become very sincere and very quickly. So that is not the meaning of starting from the beginning. So those yoga brashtas, it's only seemingly that they are starting from beginning, but you will see them, they are progressing quite fast.
From that point they'll get the access
of
the previous
security. Yeah.
When it comes, that is on Krishna's will or that karma or whatever.
Yeah. Not karma.
No, what Lord is saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's offense, then he will go slowly
on. Yeah, yeah.
If he's an offense,
slowly means the regular pace, whatever. If the offense has been so serious that he has gone out of bhakti, then depending on if he has, yeah.
Offense does not make the further path steep. Just puts them back. Both.
I mean, while practicing also. If we are offending devotees, then we go behind, and also it becomes, because to deal with the devotee again becomes difficult. Then whenever you look at the devotee, you know, you feel something, then it becomes difficult to move further. We also know when the offensive mentality is there, then the further progress also becomes difficult. At the same time, if we are continually offending, we will also go back in our progress. Regress. Both happen. Regress. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like that.
Is there any shastric quotation which says about that bhakti gets covered? Also, like Krishna Chaitanya Thakur, we saw that cancers.
I don't mind. You can say that it covers bhakti also. Whether it covers or cancels, whatever you feel comfortable, the point is to uncover or to move forward. What you need to do is adav shraddha tata sadhu sangha bhajana kriya and so on. So whether you may want to call it as covering or cancelling, it's just a question of terminology. Acha. Okay. Acha, I need to go over it and I need to go over it and see how it has been explained. I don't recollect. So the point is, the essence is beware of offenses. If you have understood that, because to uncover it is also difficult, to nullify it is also difficult. So in one sense, it's it's not conducive for our devotional development. That is the essence. So whether it is covering or nullifying is a detail. So yeah. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.